Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you here on this Friday. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of a series, and it's one of my favorites, so I'm a little bit sad. But the good news is that all of Derek's teaching you can get on DerekPrince.org, especially this wonderful series on relationship with God. Now, today, Derek's going to be talking about something I'm so glad he's included in this series on relationship with him, because it's about the Lord's Supper. You know, I think some Christians, many Christians, in fact, partake of the Lord's Supper constantly in their churches and don't really know why. It's sort of a pageant or a skit that we redo over and over. But the fact is, it's meant to be a place of fellowship. It's meant to be an application of power. It's meant to be something transforming. And today, Derek's going to help us understand it. So let's bring this series to an end today with Derek as he teaches us about the covenant meal in this series on relationship with God.
Today I'm going to speak about the distinctive New Testament ordinance or sacrament that symbolizes and perpetuates this special lifestyle. God's people over the centuries have adopted various names for this. Some call it the Eucharist, others communion, or the Lord's Supper, or breaking of bread. For my purposes today, the name is not important. In my talk today, I want to show you the direct connection between this ordinance and the covenant on which the Christian faith is based. In fact, I want to picture it for you as a covenant meal. We remember, of course, that it was at a meal that Jesus instituted the Eucharist or the communion or the Lord's Supper. That's why it's called the Lord's Supper. After the Passover Supper, which he'd eaten together with his disciples, he took two of the simple elements that were on the supper table, the bread and the wine, and he used those two elements to institute this very sacred and solemn ordinance or sacrament, whatever you want to call it. Here are the words that describe what Jesus did in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is to be shed on behalf of many for forgiveness of sins." Notice that through that simple exchange with his disciples of the elements of the bread and the wine, he entered in to the new covenant. This was the way in which he instituted that covenant. Always bear in mind that the word covenant and the word testament are the same in the original language. So when we speak about the New Testament, we're speaking about the new covenant. This is how the new covenant was initiated between Jesus and his disciples. Therefore, it's a very solemn and significant and important event for all those who are committed to Jesus. What were its purposes? I would suggest that they could be expressed in three words: to commemorate, to perpetuate, to renew. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, always remember how the covenant was initiated. Always remember where this relationship began. Never forget that. Secondly, it was to perpetuate it. It was to keep it always before them. It was to make it an ongoing relationship which would never cease, both between Jesus and his disciples and amongst the disciples themselves. Thirdly, I believe it has the function to renew. I believe there are times in our Christian experience when we are beginning to slip from God's standards and God's requirements. And one of the ways that God calls us back to his standards is by this covenant meal, in which we're reminded once again of what it's all about, what it cost, what Jesus expects of us. What are the implications of this covenant meal? Now, I want to point out to you that a covenant meal was nothing new in the Middle East. At that time, amongst the peoples of the Middle East, for many, many centuries, it's been understood that to eat bread with a man and to share the same cup were to make a very solemn and sacred commitment to him. Now I want to turn to Paul's explanation of this covenant meal, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. I'm going to read those verses. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And when Paul says a number sleep, what he means is a number have died untimely deaths before their time. That's a very solemn picture of what this covenant meal is. It's a memorial of the covenant that Jesus initiated. It's a reminder of our covenant obligations to him, but also to one another. And Paul reminds us that we have, in partaking of this meal, to judge or discern the body rightly. That does not mean merely to discern the bread as the body of the Lord, but it means also to discern our fellow believers who partake with us of the same covenant meal as members of the same body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul had said, because there's one loaf, and we all partake of that one loaf, it means that we are one body. So to discern the body is to discern the unity of all who partake. It's to discern that we're all members of one body, that we all have a covenant relationship with one another. That means that from the moment we enter into that relationship and renew it by the partaking of this covenant meal, we are committed to be loyal to one another.
Thank God that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, and that he did it as a perpetual commemoration. But you know, the word commemoration doesn't mean something that we just do like a skit. It actually means something that we renew in power constantly. This is a great teaching, and there's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you here on this Friday. We are wrapping up a very, very powerful teaching by Derek Prince on relationship with God. And today he's talking about the covenant meal, the Lord's Supper, and conduct that undermines the covenant. It's been great. It's been powerful. Let's listen.
Because this is such a solemn and serious subject, today I want to bring you a special word of warning. I want to speak to you about conduct that undermines covenant. Now, God's demands for covenant commitment as the basis for relationship are clearly set forth in Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, verse 5, God says, "Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." That defines those whom God considers to be godly ones. They are those who've made a covenant with him on the basis of a sacrifice. Of course, the sacrifice on which the new covenant is based is the death of Jesus on our behalf. To be related to God, to be included among his godly ones, we have to be in that covenant relationship with God, which is based on the sacrificial death of Jesus on our behalf. Now, further on in Psalm 50, God gives a promise to those who fulfill his covenant requirements. He promises his help in time of need. In verse 15, he says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." But later on in the same psalm, he also speaks a word of stern rebuke to those whose conduct is unworthy of their covenant. These words of warning and rebuke are found in the same psalm, verses 16 through 20. "But to the wicked," God says, "what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth?" You notice God is angry because these people claim to have a covenant relationship with God. They use the language of covenant, but their conduct doesn't answer to their profession. This makes it very clear that to claim to be in covenant relationship with God puts upon us a very high standard of behavior toward God and toward one another. Then in the next verses of this psalm, God goes on to specify the things that he will not accept in those who claim to be in covenant relationship with him. He says this, "For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son." There are certain forms of conduct mentioned here that disqualify people from covenant relationship. The first ones mentioned could be summed up like this: indiscipline, rejecting God's word, and associating with thieves and adulterers. But the main emphasis is on evil done by the tongue. You let your mouth loose in evil. Your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Four things that are done by the tongue. I want to say this. Sins of the tongue do more to undermine covenant relationships than all other sins combined. In James chapter 3, verse 6, James says that the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Notice the tongue, when it's misused, defiles the entire body. That's true not merely of each individual believer who misuses his tongue in relationship to his own body, but it's true of the body of Jesus Christ collectively. The misuse of the tongue by believers amongst themselves defiles the entire body. It makes such persons unworthy to claim a covenant relationship with God and with one another. I want to mention two specific misuses of the tongue that harm the body of Christ, misuses which I believe are lamentably common amongst God's people today. The first is referred to in Psalm 15. Psalm 15 opens with a question: "Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? The question, in essence, is who's worthy of close fellowship and relationship with God? And in the remaining verses of the psalmist states 11 requirements in the life of the person who claims to come close and have fellowship with God. I'm not going to deal with all 11. I'm only going to read the third verse, which contains three of those 11 requirements for fellowship with God. Speaking of that kind of person, the psalmist says in verse 3, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Two of those requirements relate to the tongue. The first is that we do not slander. The second is that we do not take up a reproach against a friend. To slander is to spread malicious or damaging or hurtful statements about other persons. I don't suppose I need to remind you that the very word devil means literally slanderer. In Revelation chapter 12, we are told that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of God's people. Every time we carry slanders about our fellow believers or accuse them, what we are actually doing is doing the devil's work for him. And I just want to beseech you, don't do it. The devil doesn't need your help. He's got enough without finding helpers amongst the people of God. But the second thing in that verse 3 of Psalm 15 is that we are not to receive a reproach. When somebody comes to us with a malicious or unkind statement about a fellow believer, we are not to accept it. What should we do? In most cases, we should say, if you've got anything against that brother or that sister, go and tell them directly. Go to them. I'm not the person for you to come to.
You know, I'll have to tell you honestly, I really hadn't thought about behavior that disqualifies me from the covenant. That is a challenging thought. That lack of discipline, that rejecting God's word, that associating with thieves and adulterers could actually disqualify me from the covenant. That's powerful and transforming truth. Listen, we're going to wrap the whole thing up here in just a moment as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and now, on this Friday, at the end of the week, we're finishing this entire series that we've been doing on relationship with God. So, listen, if you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. But here it is, the conclusion of this teaching on relationship with God.
The other problem that's so common amongst Christians that I want to mention just for a moment is judging one another. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says this, "Do not speak against one another, brethren." That's a pretty flat statement. Don't speak against your brothers. "He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" I find that most Christians really think that somehow they've been unofficially appointed judges of their fellow believers. I want you to understand that this is a terrible mistake. Picture a law court for a moment. I'm sure you've been in one. I have. When you go into the court, there are benches on which you sit, or chairs of some kind, and then there's a space, and usually there's some kind of railing or some kind of thing to separate you, and then there's the judge's seat. And usually the judge is the last person to enter the court, and when he comes in, there's a certain amount of ceremony, and people are required to stand up. Now, suppose you went into that court one day, and you sat there, and you were waiting for the case to begin and the judge to come in, and suddenly you said, "Why shouldn't I be the judge in this court today?" So you got up out of your seat, and you walked right up, and you broke through whatever kind of partition or barricade there was, and you sat down in the judge's seat. You know well what had happened to you. You'd be a breaker of the law. You'd come under judgment yourself. You'd be evicted and probably charged and maybe put in prison. Why? Because you're taking the position of a judge which is not yours by legal right. And that's why James says, when you judge your fellow believer, you're no longer keeping the law, you're breaking the law. It's the law who determines who will be a judge. And if you make yourself a judge contrary to the law, you're breaking the law. I believe that's one of the commonest mistakes amongst Christians. We abrogate to ourselves the right to judge one another when God hasn't given us that right, and consequently, we fail in our covenant commitments to be loyal to one another. So I beseech you today, as I close this message, guard your tongue. Don't stab your fellow believers in the back. Don't be a slanderer, a talebearer, or a judge when God hasn't made you a judge.
You know, this teaching on behavior that disqualifies me for the covenant has really convicted me, because I have to admit that I judge people. And Derek taught very, very powerfully on the fact that when we take the place of the judge, when we pass judgment on other people, that we ourselves come under judgment. And in fact, James tells us that we are no longer keeping the law, that we become lawbreakers. Now, I have to tell you that this is difficult, because we spend our whole lives evaluating people. We spend our whole lives looking at people and saying, "Oh, I don't like her. He's like this. She's like that." But you know what? That judgment just heaps back on us. And as Derek teaches it, this disqualifies us from the covenant. I wonder if there's not a more Christ-like way to speak the truth in love, not live in some world of unreality where we're not able to speak about what really exists, but to refrain from judgment, refrain from having the arrogance to have to give our opinion about everybody and everything. You know what it's like to be with somebody who's loving and gentle, who's always saying kind things. You just sort of want to bask in their presence. But those who are always passing judgment, always talking about how horrible people are or the negative things about them, you know, when you leave their presence, you just feel fear, really, that they're going to do the same to you. Let's make it our heartfelt desire to live free from judgment ourselves. And of course, the price of that is that we not judge others. Now, listen, we want to hear from you. We want you to be in contact with us. We want you to know what's going on with us. We want to know about testimonies and great things that are happening in your life, and also about things that we can pray about. You can communicate with us by logging on to derekprince.org, or there's also a phone number for you, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Stay in touch with us. Let us know what's going on, and keep up also with what's happening in Derek Prince Ministries. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this series as much as I did. For everybody at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
We are so very glad that you could be with us today for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order a copy of Derek's newest book, Rules of Engagement, for $12.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261, 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.